The recording has started.
Good morning, all. Welcome to the Tehama County Solid Waste Management Agency full board meeting for January 4th, 2021 at 10 a.m. If you would all please stand and pledge allegiance, please. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for all that. If anyone out there is listening and wants to dial in to real-time commenting, please call 551-240-6981. With that announcement, I will open up public comment.
A roll call.
Do what?
Roll call.
Oh, roll call. Please, roll call and public comment.
Chair Garten?
Here.
Vice Chair Dieters?
Here.
Director Williams? Director Shamblin?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Here.
Director Istone?
Here.
Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Director Parker?
Here.
Director Jones? Director Jones? Jonna?
Can you not hear me?
Now I can hear you. Okay, Director Bouquet? Director Dean?
I can't hear you either.
Can you hear me now?
There's two letters of each word.
Can everybody else hear me?
No.
You're cutting it out, Rachel.
Okay, well, I'll talk slowly. Director Demo?
Here.
Director Beats? Hello? I just want to try to...
So, we potentially have some internet issues here at the landfill office, so we'll do the best we can. With that, public comment.
Okay, I have two items. The first is that our annual independent audit is complete, but our auditor was unable to make a presentation today, so it will be presented at our April full board meeting. The second is that effective January 1st, 2021, photovoltaic modules or solar panels are now considered universal waste. So we will be working to establish a program here locally once we have a facility to take them to.
We heard nothing on the first, just a couple of us didn't.
I missed most of it.
I'm gonna try to connect to my cell phone.
Yeah, try see if you can.
I'm gonna if you can hear me, I'm going to try to connect to my cell phone.
Okay.
So I'm going to get this. I don't know that it will be able to run off my Wi-Fi. I might have to log out back. If you can hear me, I might have to log out and log back in. So stay put, please.
Okay.
So let's try to run off my Wi-Fi first.
What, Paul, while she's doing that, what items do we need a quorum or a vote?
So we need so both the minutes, the warrants, grant funded and the warrants, then we have the election and appointment. So those are two voting items. And then
we could trail everything else to the next meeting.
Yeah, and then we have the in-person meeting.
Can you hear me better now?
So, six,
I
seven,
can.
Eight.
You can?
So far, yes.
Potentially nine.
Okay. All right. So we're.
And the rest is information.
I'll repeat the public comment, so we'll hopefully this works. I'm just working off my hotspot now. The first public comment is that the independent audit is complete for last fiscal year. However, our independent auditor was unable to attend this meeting as he's on vacation. So it is being postponed until the April full board meeting so that he can present his findings. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The second is that photovoltaic modules, which are solar panels, are now considered universal waste, not hazardous waste. So as of January 1st, so we'll be working to establish a program here locally as soon as we find a vendor to take them.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, we will move to item four, regular item 4A, the minutes.
I move we approve the minutes from last meeting.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the minutes.
Danielle, were you the second?
No.
Was that you, Jonna?
Carlson.
Okay, thank you.
Rachel, call the roll.
Vice Chair Dieters?
Yes.
Director Williams? Director Shamblin?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Istone?
Yes.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Parker? Director Parker? Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Director Parker? Director Jones? Director Jones? Director Bouquet? Director Demo?
Yeah.
Director Beats? Chairman Garten?
Yes. Thank you all for that. We'll move to item 4B, regular warrants. Can we do, both grant funded and regular warrants, we'll do them as one item.
We have to do the other minutes first.
No, before you move on, John wanted to, I don't know if you can hear him on here, but he wanted to correct you as to form as he wasn't present.
Sure.
I think I need to do that as well, but I'm not sure if that's the meeting I wasn't at.
Director Leach would like to be approval as to form since he wasn't here.
So I was absent at least for part of the meeting based on that.
Okay. We still have the other minutes from November 30th.
Oh, the special meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to do item 2, the full board minutes of the special meeting. Entertain a motion.
I'll move. Steve.
I'll second.
This is Dave, I'll second it.
You're Dave Demo, and I didn't hear the other one.
Steve.
Rachel, call the roll.
Vice Chair Dieters?
Yes.
Director Williams? Director Shamblin?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Yes, after four.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Istone?
Yes.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Parker? Director Jones? Director Bouquet? Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats? Chairman Garten?
Yes.
Okay. Just a quick note, John texted me and said she doesn't think anybody's hearing her. She's asked a question twice.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Jonna.
Yeah.
But everybody else seems to be able to hear me.
Is Clay here too? I don't hear either Jonna or Clay.
Yeah, he's here, but he's not responding.
And she voted no on
Got
something.
It, okay. I can barely hear some people.
James Galson.
Okay, she voted no on something?
I don't know, you want to find out which one. There's only two things we voted on.
I'll reach out to you, Jonna, after the meeting. Right, warrants.
Okay, warrants. Do you want to do them separately or together?
Together is fine.
I'd entertain a motion for B, the warrant register, the grant-funded warrants in the amount of $20,972.98, and the regular warrants in the amount of $51,877.62.
Unless there are questions, I would move both items.
Thank you. I have a motion. Anyone second?
This is Dean Wall. Second it.
Thank you. Rachel will call roll.
Vice Chair Deiters?
Yes.
Director Williams? Director Shamblin?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Istone?
Yes.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Parker? Director Jones? Director Bouquet? Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats? Chairman Garten?
Yes. Item C, budget quarterly update. Rachel, I think that's you.
Yes. So I'll make this brief as we're not requesting a budget update at this time. Attached to your agenda packet, there is the second quarter revenues and expenditures for this current fiscal year as provided by the auditor controller. The second quarter interest apportionment has not yet been posted. Gate fees represent 4 months of gate fee revenues as compared to 5 months of revenues at the same time last year. And November 2020 revenues had not yet been posted at the time the budget report was provided by the Auditor Controller's office. Hazardous waste fees represents regular HHW business fees, donations made to our facilities, and reimbursement claims for our used oil collection program and paint care. The second quarter certified used oil incentive fund payment and pain care reimbursement have not yet been received. Miscellaneous revenue includes the first grazing lease payment. We've not yet sought a donation from Dignity Health for this fiscal year for the purchase of home generated sharps containers, as the agency has not yet had to purchase containers. Interfund revenue represent direct expenses for personnel costs associated with grant funding. Currently, these revenues are trending down as normal fall community events affording the agency staff outreach opportunities have largely been canceled due to the coronavirus. Salary and wages, overtime, PERS, OASDI, group insurance, and unemployment insurance take into consideration normal step increases at anniversary dates. Workers' compensation for this fiscal year has increased $3,389 over last fiscal year due to claims. Insurance includes payment of crime, property, and pollution liability premiums. Membership and dues include membership to the California Product Stewardship Council, the Rural Counties Environmental Services Joint Powers Authority, and the California Association of Recycling Market Development Zones. Expenses have decreased over last fiscal year as the ESJPA reduced the membership fees by 50% for this fiscal year. Professional and special services include attorney fees, administrative services provided by Tehama County, and preliminary billing for our annual independent audit. Lawrence & Associates is currently working on our feasibility study, but we have not yet been billed for any work. So currently, out of the $107,576 budgeted for this category, we've only expended $9,422.80. Employee travel and training expense include expenditures for typical training and travel expenses. Hazardous waste disposal includes hazardous waste disposal. We're currently not requesting a budget adjustment for the management of treated wood waste. And more information will be provided in a later agenda item this meeting. As of December 15th, 2020, expenditures exceed revenues by $7,991.05 as compared to expenditures exceeding revenues by $69,108.42 at the first quarter budget update in October. Income is 33.7% of projected revenue of the year. Expenditures are 36.2% of projected expenditures for the year. It's important to note that had we received our November JPA payment, we would actually, our revenues would have exceeded our expenditures at this point. As of December 18th, 2020, the Tehama County Auditor Controller's Office reports the agency has a retained earnings balance of $963,496.28.
Any questions, Rachel, on item C? Hearing none, we'll move on to item five, regular landfill election and appointment of executive committee members.
Okay, so our bylaws require two members of the city, Red Bluff City Council and Board of Supervisors be each appointed to sit on the executive committee, joining the City of Corning and the City of Tehama. While not required, typically the District 2 supervisor is among the Board of Supervisors appointees as the landfill resides in that district. Additionally, the chair and vice chair need to be elected, both of which sit on the executive committee. The current chair is Dennis Garten and vice chair is Chris Dieters. The executive committee members at the close of 2020 were Dave Demo, Jim Bouquet, Candy Carlson, Amanda Jenkins, Dennis Garten, and Chris Dieters.
For the county, this item is on for 1:30 tomorrow afternoon for discussion and assignment of committees in regards to who from the county will be on the executive committee. Just for information, I don't know if the city is...
I personally can't understand what's being said.
I can't either. I can't understand anything that even was mentioned there.
I don't understand, but I also can't be heard, so apparently it doesn't matter.
We can hear you now.
Can hear you now, Jonna. Okay.
Oh,
there you are.
So I understood everything Rachel said, but nothing Dennis said.
Correct.
He has the microphone now, so go ahead, Dennis.
Okay, for the county, assignments and committee assignments is on schedule for 1:30 tomorrow. So as far as who is going to be assigned to the executive committee from the county, that is still, has not been decided. And I don't know what the cities have done for their committee assignments.
Ours have just been left the same until we get it updated and voted on by the commission. And then it'll be updated that way for the city.
So.
So I believe that in the last Red Bluff City Council meeting, we did do committee assignments, and it's, I understand, if I remember correctly, the council member Gonzalez was appointed to the executive committee.
And yourself?
And myself.
So I'd like
to... I believe that's correct.
Yeah. Not chair.
Now I can hear you. That's correct. So, according to the bylaws, usually the city council and the county just reaffirm what's voted on by this board, because only this board has authority to appoint people to the executive committee.
Exactly.
So, you could, the county, since the city has already done, the county could appoint two people during this meeting and reaffirm it at your board meeting tomorrow.
Whatever the committee wants to do.
Okay. So,
I'd like to... committee still. It's in my district. So this is Candy Carlson.
So we need one other person from the county to sit on the executive committee then.
Are we looking for a nomination or a volunteer?
Either.
Well, I'll nominate John Leach. He's new. He needs to get his feet wet.
I'll second that nomination.
Okay. So here are the nominations for the executive committee. Gonzalez, Dieters, Carlson, and Leach. We'll need a motion and a second for those nominations.
Entertain a motion.
Second.
So moved.
Who was the second?
Kit Carlson.
Okay. All do roll call?
Yeah, do roll call.
Okay. All right, so here's the roll call for the appointees to the executive committee. Vice Chair Dieters.
Yes.
Director Williams. Director Shamblin.
Yes.
Director Leach.
Yes.
Director Carlson.
Yes.
Director Istone.
Yes.
Director Gonzalez.
Yes.
Director Parker. Director Jones?
Yes.
Director Bouquet? Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats? Chair Garten?
Yes.
So next is the from the executive committee. Thank you. From the executive committee members, we are need to appoint a chair and vice chair. The current chair is Dennis Garten, but since you're not on the executive committee anymore, you're no longer eligible. The current vice chair.
I'd like to nominate Chris Peter. She's been on at least a year or two and has some experience, so I'd like to nominate her as chair.
Okay.
This is Carl.
I sound second.
Okay. I'll do roll call. Yep.
I didn't hear that. Can you repeat it?
So the for chair, it is Chris Dieters, and motion by Candy Carlson and seconded by Danielle Istone. And I'll do a roll
Thank
call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Vice Chair Dieters?
Yes.
Director Williams? Director Shamblin?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Istone?
Yes.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Parker? Director Jones?
Yes.
Director Bouquet? Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats? Chairman Garten?
Yes.
All right, so now we need a vice chair.
And they entertain a motion for vice chair for this committee.
I nominate Candy Carlson as our vice chair for 21.
Cool. Was that Director Leach?
Yes.
Second.
I still second.
All right, I'll do a roll call.
Yes.
All right. Chair Dieters?
Yes.
Director Williams? Director Shamblin?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Istone?
Yes.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Parker? Director Jones?
Yes.
Director Bouquet? Director Demo?
Yeah.
Director Beats? Director Garten?
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to turn the meeting over to the new chair.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. I hope this year is better for all of us than last year. And thank you, Dennis, for chairing this committee for last year. We are going to move to item 2 under section 5, return to in-person meetings.
So as directed, I reached out to the Tehama County Health Services Agency and the public health officer regarding the possibility of returning to in-person meetings. I would like to note that today has been a little bit more difficult than normal because we have poor internet at our office, and when it's windy, it's even worse. So normally we have our meetings at the library, which has better internet. We weren't able to do that today, so it's part of our reason, our issues today. So in light of the increased numbers of COVID-19 cases, Dr. Wickenheiser recommended that the agency continue to hold its board meetings virtually. However, it is at the discretion of this board whether or not you'd like to return to in-person meetings.
Rachel, it's Danielle Eystone. I know I was one of the ones that had wanted this in person, and I still want that. I appreciate you putting this on the agenda so we can talk about it. So much like we do with the city council meetings, you can have the option to go in person and or still call in. And I just want to say, I know that there's some spacing issues. I have no problem not sitting on the dais, so we can keep these spacing issues that are spacing, and we can get rid of hopefully these technical issues.
That's certainly at your discretion. I did put on the agenda at your request. So that's the pleasure of the board, the hybrid model. I know, Dennis, you can probably speak to this. I know in the past there's been audio issues in the board chambers with the hybrid model, and I don't know if that's improved or not.
We're supposed to be fixing it.
Okay.
We'll have to talk to Brent and see where he's at in that process.
So according to Director Garten, they're supposed to be fixing the audio issues in the board chambers. I can talk to Brent at admin and see where they are in the process.
Can we maybe look into a different platform for distance?
We can. It's not really the platform. It's really our internet connection out here. I do have a Zoom account. We can try that if you'd like to try that, or we can. I mean, it's whatever you want me to do. I can do that.
I like the idea of at least the executive members being present in the, if we're going to be at the landfill conference room or wherever, and then to have other members as they choose to call in. But if the executive members are not comfortable with coming in, they could call in also, but at least have that option.
I'd like to call on the option.
Our landfill office can't really accommodate that many people and still maintain social distancing. It's really a maximum of 6 people. So if we were to do a hybrid model, it would really be better for us to use the admin Board of Supervisors chambers.
So do you want to get back with us, Rachel? Because it sounds like we don't have the location to be able to have in person at this point.
Well, we do have a location. It's the Board of Supervisors chambers, similar to how it's currently operating for board meetings. It sounds like if people, we just wouldn't be able to get everybody on the dais. So if probably the supervisors would sit in their normal spots and everyone else would be in the audience, and they could use the microphone when they would like to speak.
They do have a portable mic in there.
Oh, I guess they have a portable mic now too. That's good to know.
Can I make a motion that we meet in person?
Yes,
absolutely.
I'd like to
I still will second.
Okay.
A motion.
I still would like the option to call in for people like, you know, Supervisor Chamlin, or, you know, when I was ill, it was good to be able to still participate with the meeting, have the call in as well.
Are we voting for a hybrid model, or are we voting for strictly in person?
Hybrid model.
Well, I.
Right? Correct.
Yeah,
hybrid
model. I would.
My second was for a hybrid.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, thank you. I was just trying to clarify.
Thank you.
Motion and second for the hybrid model. Rachel, you want to call the vote?
Director Garten?
Yes.
Director Williams? Director Chamblin?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Ifstone?
Yes.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Parker? Director Jones?
Yes.
Director Bope? Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats? Chair Diders?
Yes. Item 5.3, amendment to the agency and manager employment agreement. Review and approve the first amendment to the employment agreement between the agencies and Rachel Ross Donaldson as presented.
Okay, so as the board's aware, since Tehama County manages all of our administrative services, including payroll, typically whenever there's a change in policy with the county, we have to adopt the same change in policy. Similarly, my employment agreement with the agency is modeled after other department head employment agreements within Tehama County. And so when certain changes are made to other department head contracts, the same changes are requested to be made of the agency manager's contract. Recently, Tehama County Board of Supervisors approved the transition from semi-monthly pay periods to bi-weekly pay periods. Further, the Board of Supervisors directed Tehama County staff to remove the monthly stipend from all department head contracts and increase department head salaries by an equivalent amount. So as such, Tehama County Administration is requesting the following amendments. Change the agency's agency manager's salary from monthly to annually. Increase the agency's manager's salary by $1,200 annually. Eliminate the $100 per month department head stipend. Change the personal time off accrual rate from 20 hours per month to 240 hours per year, which is equivalent to 9.23 hours per pay period. These changes would be effective January 1st, 2021 and remain in effect for the duration of the employment agreement. This isn't in any substantial changes to my contract. It's really just to be consistent with our new policies. It's not increased pay or increased accrual. I'm not requesting any other changes otherwise.
So Rachel, this is Candy Carlson. I objected to the stipend becoming an income at the board. So I just want to make that same objection. It has nothing to do with you personally or anything to do with your, the way you do your work or your performance or anything. It's just that the stipend was, in my opinion, something that was being used inappropriately, and I don't think that it should be just converted to wages. So for that reason, I won't be supporting this, but everything else that's in there, I can support.
Okay, thank you for that explanation.
Any other comments?
If we don't support this change, is that going to cause a problem with the county continuing to do the work they've been doing for the landfill?
Yes. Well, they're still under contract with us, but essentially, there are all of the procedures they put in place to convert over to biweekly payroll would not work with my semi-monthly pay schedule. So they wouldn't be able to, I mean, I'm not positive they wouldn't be able to process it, but I believe that they had to transition their software over. Dennis is agreeing with me, they had to do a software transition.
I'm not necessarily in favor, I'm more with Candy, Supervisor Carlson on this, but I don't want us as a group to decide not to do it and have to then find someone to do those payroll things that the county does when it's not going to change the grant scheme.
I'll so move the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the agreement. Any other discussion?
Rachel, can you call him?
Director Garten?
Yes.
Director Williams? Director Chamberlain?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Did you hear him?
Director Leach? No.
No.
No. Director Carlson?
No.
Director Istone?
No.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Parker?
Yes.
Director Jones?
Yes.
Director Bopay? Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats? Chair Deiters?
Yes.
All right, the passes.
Motion carries. Item four, treated wood waste support letter approval. Review and approve the submission of the attached letter sent to Cal EPA requesting alternative management variances for treated wood waste. This is Rachel.
All right, so as the board's aware, effective January 1st, 2021, the alternative management standards for treated wood waste ceased because Senate Bill 68 was vetoed by the governor. As such, treated wood waste has to be managed through a hazardous waste program by being transported to a Class 1 landfill, of which I've learned there's only one landfill in California that is permitted to accept it. A permitted incinerator or an out-of-state landfill, and Oregon has a reciprocal law, so anything that's illegal to be disposed of in a landfill in California, they have the same regulations in Oregon, so it would have to go to Nevada or Arizona. At the November 30th, 2020 special board meeting, I requested authorization to support the reinstatement of the alternative management standards for treated wood waste, provided that the letters be brought back to the board for official approval. In accordance with this condition, I'm requesting official approval for the attached solid waste industry group letters sent to the Secretary of Cal EPA. The letter requested that the DTSC issue variances pursuant to the expired health and safety code for treated wood waste, allowing for the alternative management standard to continue until a legislative solution or otherwise reasonable program be established. DTSC's response letter indicated that the DTSC intends to issue temporary variances to allow treated wood waste to continue to be managed pursuant to the alternative management standards. And since I wrote this agenda item, they did come back with the timeline of expecting to begin reviewing and issuing variances sometime in mid-February. And for this reason, that's the reason why I didn't ask for a budget adjustment for hazardous waste disposal.
Thank you, Rachel. Any discussion? Nobody else will. I'll move the letter.
Thank you.
Motion by Director Garten. Any second?
Carlson.
I'll second. Jones.
Candy, I'll go first.
Give it to her.
Candy.
A second by Director Carlson. No further discussion, correct? Rachel, can you call
the roll? Director Garten?
Yes.
Director Williams? Director Chamberlain?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Istone?
Yes.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Parker?
Yes.
Director Jones?
Yes.
Director Bouquet? Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats? Chair Deiters?
Yes. Motion carries. Item five, draft 2021 succession plan, review of provided comments and or approval of the draft 2021 succession plan. Rachel.
Let's get to my questions. All right, so one of the goals of this fiscal year is to come up with a draft succession plan for the agency. The purpose of the succession plan was to ensure that the functions of the positions within the agency are well understood and shared amongst staff and directors. It also facilitates a smooth leadership transition when there is a predictable and planned transition. The draft succession plan you have before you outlines a plan of succession in the event of a planned or unplanned absence of the agency manager. Additionally, the document outlines the position responsibilities for all positions except the organic materials program coordinator, since that's a new position and we're still working on developing it. The plan reflects the commitment to sustaining a healthy, functioning organization. And the purpose is to ensure that the organization's leadership has adequate information and a strategy to effectively manage the agency in the event that there is that any of the staff are unable to fulfill his or her duties.
Any comments?
I'd just like to thank Rachel for the draft and the work on this. I really appreciate it, Rachel.
You're welcome.
Rachel, I want to mirror what Supervisor Chandlin said. This is really important, especially in our community when positions are hard to fill. So I just really appreciate that you put this effort in. I'd like to go ahead and move the approval of the draft.
Second.
A motion and a second for approval. Any other discussion or comments? Rachel, call the vote.
Director Garten?
Yes.
Director Williams? Director Chamblin?
Yes.
Director Leach?
Yes.
Director Carlson?
Yes.
Director Istone?
Yes.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Parker?
Yes.
Director Jones?
Yes.
Director Bouquet? Director Demo?
Yes.
Director Beats? Chair Digers?
Yes. Motion carries. Items 6 through 10 are informational only, and we'll start with item 6, a review of SB 1383.
Thank you. Hopefully everybody can hear me all right. So you should have in your agenda packet a timeline of development and implementation for the SB 1383 regulations. Since we're at the point here in 2021 where we're preparing for quite a few things that are going to have deadlines starting January 1st, 2022. And then further deadlines throughout 2023, 24, and then the in January 1st, 2027 is when we will actually have to start separating out food waste and recycling food waste and having a place for food waste to go. Prior to that, I will continue with the collection of yard waste and organic waste and developing those programs. Like I said, we're here in the program development stage because we'll need to have the ordinances adopted by January 1, 2022. So I'll be working on that over the year, working with the county and the cities to get all the ordinances that we'll need, as well as working with our largest edible food generators, because we don't have to actually recycle the food waste till 27. And starting January 1st, 2022, we'll have to implement the edible food recovery program. So we'll be working with individuals like the Gleaners, those types of food recovery organizations, and our largest edible food generators, the Tier 1 generators, will have to comply starting then. And then in 2024, the Tier 2 edible food generators, the smaller grocery stores, smaller restaurants and such, will have to comply at that point. And then in between then, we'll have various reports that'll be due, as well as route reviews that will have to be conducted in 2022. And then also the outreach component of there's any questions on the
the implementation of this for the regulations to prepare for that January 1st, 2022 deadline.
Paul, this is Steve. I'd just like to say congratulations, and we look forward to your leadership on these issues.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Steve.
So I just wanted to say, as usual, you, with your small staff over there, have ambitious goals, and this is really incredible, and thank you for putting this together.
You're welcome.
There is one thing I'd like to add, is that at the last ESJPA meeting, CalRecycle, one of their deputy directors made a presentation. I believe she's deputy director. But during that presentation, she made it very clear that the understanding of CalRecycle, these regulations, is that covered areas of jurisdictions that must comply are required to have mandatory service. That's not an issue in the cities, as all the cities have mandatory service already, but the county doesn't have mandatory service. So that's something that's currently being debated at the state level, but if that interpretation sticks, we will have to move towards mandatory service throughout the county, which is a very big shift in how we manage solid waste here.
Right.
Yes, and I would expect the public to be very unhappy about it. What is that?
Item 7, 2020-2021 goals update, and that's Rachel.
So I'm just going to focus on the ones that we're still working on or that we don't expect to be able to accomplish this year due to the coronavirus. The first is goal, and then if anyone has questions about other ones, please feel free to ask me. The first one is goal number 2, ensuring that we're AB 939 compliant. As the board is aware, we haven't been meeting our diversion goals for the last several years as statewide. There's been a statewide trend of increased landfill disposal and decreased diversion. And we had a review with CalRecycle a few months ago, and they found that despite us not reaching our diversion goal, we've made a good faith effort in our attempts to achieve the goals for 2015 through 2019. So we're still compliant. Item number 4, we expect Waste Connections to submit a change in law request for the cost of sending processed green waste to a composting facility instead of using it on-site as alternative daily cover. As the board's aware, effective January 1st, 2020, the use of green material as ADC no longer qualifies as diversion. And so if we were to continue to use as ADC, it would have negatively affected our diversion numbers. Item number 5, manage the agreement with Stericycle to operate the Corning and Red Bluff household hazardous waste facilities. Stericycle, which is now known as Clean Earth, has had significant staffing changes throughout this year, and it's impacted their ability to perform in managing the agency's household hazardous waste facilities. While they do show up for events, other facility management, such as housekeeping, has really suffered. So for this reason, later on during this year, the board may wish to request bids for alternative organizations for services as the termination of this agreement with Clean Earth as at the end of this fiscal or this calendar year. Item number 6, which is to revise the existing solid waste facility permit at the landfill to accommodate recent peak traffic and potentially include the material recovery facility in the landfill permit. This is still in process. We received notification that CalRecycle expects to be done with their review on February 8th, 2020. After they make a determination, if they accept their findings that they will approve the permit revision, the Department of Environmental Health can reissue our permit with the increased peak tonnages and traffic. Item number 7, oversee the development of implementation of required SB 1383 regulatory programs. This is in process. We expect to be working on this throughout the whole calendar year. So while a majority of the work will be done by the end of this fiscal year, we will be working on it for the later half of the year as well. The number 8, which is the succession plan, you, that was just approved by the board, so now that one is complete. Number 12, which is assist the county and the cities in amending the franchise hauling agreements to comply with 1383. And we'll be working, again, we'll be working with the jurisdictions throughout this year to assist them. And then several of these outreach goals, which is item 17, 22, 23, 24, we won't be able to complete these goals because of local health and state health guidelines. So we're not able to get into schools or host outreach events or things like that. And that is pretty much it. The only emerging or ongoing issue I'd like to bring up is that we've been notified by CalRecycle that the agency will be receiving less money for our used oil payment funds. They're expecting it to be about a 50% reduction. So right now this completely funds our used oil recycling program countywide, and we will we'll either need to cut back the programs or increase the funding through the JPA tipping fee as the board sees fit.
Item 8, Assembly Bill 939, 2019 Annual Report. Rachel.
So I already briefly touched upon this, in that CalRecycle found this to have been compliant via making a good faith effort. This is our 2019 annual report. It's here for your review and questions if you so have any questions. Actually.
Item 9 is the monthly update. That's
All right, so this, again, is, as usual, just including in your agenda packet in case you have any questions.
And last item is item 10, it's the outreach update, and it is Paul Holman.
So the very short outreach update, of course, like Rachel mentioned, we are unable to do a lot of that outreach that we would typically be doing right now. So we still contribute the waste reduction, recycling, and hazardous waste disposal information to the monthly Lake California POA newsletter, the Rancho Tehama newsletter, as well as produced and distributed the Tehama County 4Rs e-news blast. Again, if anybody would like to be added to our 4Rs e-news blast, just send me an email. We can add you to that. The next household hazardous waste collection events will be held from 8 a.m. until 12 p.m. on this Saturday, January 9th, at the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill, and on Saturday, January 23rd, at Corning Disposal. The agency will be holding a free passenger tire collection event this Saturday, January 9th, from 8 a.m. until 12 p.m. here at the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill and the Los Molinos Transfer Station. We also allow residents to drop off tires at the Manton and Rancho Tehama transfer stations during the event. We'll report on the number of tires received at the next meeting. I delivered recycling bins and outreach materials to new SBA partners Motel 6, Red Bluff Gas, and Elmore Pharmacy. As we've reported on in the past, the agency was notified by Waste Tire Products that the electronic waste collection events will no longer be held the last Saturday of every month at Corning Parking Lot and the Tehama County Department of Social Services Parking Lot in Red. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Okay, that completes our agenda. Anything else from directors? Okay. Everybody stay safe and healthy, and this meeting is adjourned as of 10:57 a.m. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
This session is no longer being recorded.